Welcome into a special podcast version of Preds Insiders here, ESPN 102.5 The Game and TheGameNashville.com. Ryan Porth joined by Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road and NHL.com here on this beautiful Saturday in Music City. How we doing, Rob?
Porth, I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing so much better than yesterday for so many reasons, but
well, that's good.
That's neither here nor there. All right, so wanted to do this special podcast version of the show because the Preds played the Lightning Monday and Tuesday nights, which means we don't have a Preds Insider show on 6 p.m. on Mondays because they're playing on Monday. So they just completed the back-to-back against the Florida Panthers. What a range of emotions that the Preds fan base has gone through here in the last 48 hours. Thursday night, let's start with that game. They win 6-5 in dramatic fashion, down 5-3 with 2:06 remaining. Roman Josi makes it 5-4. And Joel Quenneville on the goal challenges that Matt Duchene played the puck with a high stick before Josi scored the goal. And he loses the challenge. The Preds get a power play. Matt Duchene cashes in on that power play. They tie it up 5-5. And then Forsberg scores the goal in overtime, his fifth point of the night. Let's start with Quenneville. What in the world was the stash thinking?
It was a horrible decision. I mean, it's one of those ones where it feels like he forgot the rule. The more I've looked back at it and the more that I've tried to understand what Joel Quenneville was doing there, the more I think he thought, all right, yeah, we can just challenge it, whatever. And didn't think about the penalty as a response to it. Because to me right now, that's the only thing that makes sense. I look at the play, the high stick that Matt Duchene had. I mean, it's close, I guess, but it's not close enough where they're going to overturn that based on video review. So, look, things happen very quickly. You've got like 30 seconds after a play's over with to try to get it figured out. And I'm sure that's one of those situations where his video coach buzzed down and said, hey, we might want to take a look at this. But if I'm Quenneville, I mean, the first thing I'm saying back is you better be 100% sure before we do something like this, before I make a decision. There's no way they could have been 100% sure with that call. And honestly, like the more I think about it, the more I think he just forgot the rule and forgot that there was a penalty taking place, because that's the only logical explanation that I have is he thought, well, what's it going to hurt? Let's challenge it, and did not consider the consequences, which sounds stupid. I understand that. But that's the only logical explanation I can come up with.
Well, I think a lot of people forgot about the penalty aspect of the challenge, because Willie and C-Mace on the TV broadcast, as it was happening, I don't think really understood or remembered, I should say, that the penalty would be enforced if the challenge did not was not successful for Quenneville, because once the ref announced the penalty, they sounded surprised. I know I forgot the rule. I forgot that there was that disclaimer of that challenge. So I was stunned that the Preds ultimately came back and won that game. Philip Forsberg with the overtime goal, like I said, a really shrewd move by him at the bench as he jumped on the ice a couple seconds early, then jumped back on the bench, then jumped on the ice. And as that happened, Victor Arvidsson pokes the puck ahead to him, and he scores on a breakaway. Forsberg has had many memorable games in a Preds uniform. He's had many hat-trick games. He's had many highlight reel goals. He has scored hat-tricks in back-to-back games. But that may have been one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive game, full game, that Forsberg has played in a Preds uniform, when you consider that not only did he score two goals, he had three assists, and one of the assists on the Kalyarnkroat goal – he totally schooled the Panthers' defense in the defensive zone. And Forsberg, that was an A-list game from number nine.
It was. Like, it was definitely one of the best games I've ever seen him play. And I guess the encouraging part and the sad part at the same time, if you're a Preds fan, is you needed every last bit of it. Like, you needed every point that he had. And he, you know, at times, we've seen him pick up the team and carry them before. I don't think we've ever seen it quite to that level, which he did on Thursday night. So that's encouraging. I mean, he's off to a great start. There's a lot of problems with this team. Philip Forsberg, not one of the problems with this team. And he played out. So like the play that you mentioned to score the goal, just to have the awareness in overtime to not hop on the ice, touch the puck, and play it and get the too many men on the ice penalty, it's a huge play. I mean, there's a lot of players in the league that wouldn't even think about it in that situation, and there you'd be with a penalty in overtime. He hops back on the bench, comes down, makes the great move on the breakaway there to beat Bobrovsky. It's funny. There's a shot that you could see, like, the bench as Forsberg's breaking in, and Nick Cousins is, like, grabbing people ready to celebrate before Forsberg's even shot. It's hilarious. And then, of course, he scores, and the bench goes nuts. And you're thinking to yourself, I mean, this could be a huge win for the Predators, and we'll discuss what happened after that in the next game here in a second. But just an unbelievable performance by Forsberg. And like I said, there's still a lot of work for this team to do, but probably number one on the list in terms of things you got to be encouraged about right now is number nine and the way that he's been playing.
Yeah, no doubt. And I not only did Nick Cousins know he was going to score, I think everyone in Smashville knew he was going to score. Oh, yeah. Once he got the puck on a stick on that breakaway.
I think Sergei Bobrovsky knew he was going to score too.
Well, a lot of players have scored on Sergei Bobrovsky since he donned a Panthers uniform. But so also good to see Matt Duchene score his first two goals of the season. We'll see if that can spark him in the games to come. He's been snake bitten all season long, but scored those two goals Thursday night. But the team on Friday night, last night, did not score two goals as an entire unit. They lose 2-1 to the Panthers. And all the good that was built up out of that comeback Thursday night, I think a lot of that went down the drain with the regulation loss against Florida, and especially how it happened, Robbie. I mean, Colton Sissons leads off the scoring in the first period. You're feeling pretty good at that point that maybe they are going to continue the momentum from Thursday night. Although the Sissons goal wasn't one that you would confuse for a Connor McDavid goal. Panthers just completely dominated the rest of that game. I mean, the Preds could not generate anything offensively. At times they were outshot by the Panthers by more than two times on the shot count. And they never really came close to beating Chris Drieger again to tie that game at 2-2, and the Panthers get the split and end up getting 3 points out of the two-game series, and the Preds only get 2 points out of the two-game series.
It was an awful performance Friday night. It was terrible, and that may be the most discouraging thing I've seen about this group all season long, is you have this big win Thursday night. It's emotional. You got Matt Duchene getting off the schneid, Forsberg, 5 points. And I thought to myself, is this the type of win that can propel you forward a little bit and allow you to create some positive momentum? And they flushed every single bit of that down the toilet on Friday night. I mean, Pekka was awesome in that game. And we'll get to that a little bit more here in a few minutes. But he was outstanding in that game. They totally wasted it. I mean, I looked on Natural Stat Trick last night, which is a website that keeps up with the analytics and kind of how the flow of the game is going. And at the end of the game, they had the Predators listed as 8 high danger chances. You could sit there all day long and tell me they had 8 high danger chances. That's bull crap. They did not have 8 high danger chances in that game. And I mean, they barely spent 8 seconds in the offensive zone. So I'm not sure how they had 8 high danger chances in that game. It was bad. And, you know, you could sense some frustration after the game. Offensively, it's just not going well for this team. Man, you scored 6 goals the other night, and you've had your moments where you've looked okay offensively, but by and large, it has been such a struggle for them to generate quality chances, to sustain some zone time. You know, they played okay 5-on-5 in terms of, you know, locking things down defensively at times, and special teams really been where they've been killed in that area, but offensively, it was just a struggle. They could not, in the second, third periods, they could not get through the neutral zone at all in that game, which was really concerning to me. And I know Johansson wasn't playing and he's not had a great year, and they had some faceoff trouble as well last night. But there was, other than the goaltending on Friday night, I didn't think there was much that went well at all with this team.
And I think on the flip side, we do have to give at least some credit to the Panthers for playing a really sound game on that front. But the Predators have to make adjustments throughout the game to be able to counterattack what the Panthers were throwing out there. And they just couldn't do it. Joel Quenneville coached up that Panthers team to just lock down the Preds through most of that game. And you asked John Hines after the game about his thoughts on the inconsistency with the offense specifically. The fact that they scored 6 goals Thursday night, you score 1 goal 24 hours later, and here is your question and John Hines' response about the offense.
John, obviously, you guys have had some moments this year where offense has been good, including last night with 6 goals, but the numbers overall are not great in that department. What are you seeing, or I guess not seeing out there consistently enough offensively?
I think some of it is just, we have to, if you narrow it down, I think if you look tonight, we hit a couple posts. But then, when you look at it, we have opportunities where, you look at some shot attempts and you look at things we put on is actually hitting – hitting the net and getting pucks on there when we're in outside areas of the game. And I think when you look tonight, there wasn't a ton of situations where you had B area shots, like outer area shots with guys at the net where there was a second and third opportunity at the net front. And that's something that, needs to continue to get better.
What'd you make of what John Hines had to say?
You can sense some frustration, and it's been kind of a theme this week with John Hines, even after the win. I mean, he was complimentary. He wasn't, over the moon about that win on Thursday night either. I mean, you can sense some frustration building up, I think. And look, I mean, I get it. I mean, the offense has been bad. You've got your big-time players outside of Forsberg not producing the way they need to be producing, and that's a problem. I mean, Duchesne breaks out the other night. I didn't think he played very well Friday night at all. And he wasn't alone in that area, but it's just this team seems to be Jekyll and Hyde at times, and you're not going to win that way. Like that's been the identity of this team for far too long, is playing really well in one period or one shift and then following it up the next period or next shift, and you're not playing anywhere near the same level. And that's got to be frustrating if you're a coach. And, the game Friday night totally changes the way you view the road trip as a whole. I mean, you get hammered by the defending Stanley Cup champions, and I think, honestly, if you're honest with yourself, a Predators fan, you can probably live with that. Tampa Bay is very good. You get the win on Thursday night against Florida, and then Friday, you've got a chance to build on that, and you don't. You come out with, I think, the worst performance of the season, and then you get to analyzing, and you're like, okay, so you're telling me in this 4-game road trip, it took a 5-point superhuman effort by Philip Forsberg, late-game heroics, and basically a gift from the Florida Panthers coaching staff to win a game? That's pretty concerning to me.
Yeah, I mean, the last 3 wins that this team has collected have all come in either the overtime or shootout period. They have not collected a regulation win since Columbus.
Yeah.
And that's, we're knocking on the door of close to 4 weeks of, the last time that they collected a regulation win. And one thing that my biggest thing with the offense is that they have to work so hard just to score goals at 5-on-5. Like, they are better defensively. They have accomplished that. They are tougher to play against in their own defensive zone. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for changing that mindset and changing some of the players on that front to accomplish that from what we saw last season, which they were complete pushovers in their defensive zone. But the offense has not gotten better out of that. And frankly, it's probably gotten worse. I mean, you lose Ryan Johansson out from the lineup last night, and you had one line that you felt like was going to do anything when they were on the ice. But even that line, performance-wise, was not good enough when you look at Forsberg, Duchesne, and Granlund in last night's game. And they don't have a defensive system that can just completely smother teams where the offense, where you can win with the 2 goals or 3 goals. Like, they're tougher to play against, but they're not tougher to play against to the extent where they can just completely suffocate teams. And that's going to make it really hard for them to win with any sort of consistency this year.
Well, I think this is part of what Predators fans were concerned about this offseason. Is it's fine to want to be tougher to play against. You should be, because I agree with you. This team last year was totally soft. I mean, they had no toughness to them whatsoever, both mentally and physically. I mean, they were soft in every regard. So you need to address that, and I think they have. I think this team is tougher physically to play against, maybe even tougher mentally to play against. But part of being hard to play against is having the puck and being able to score. I mean, that's part of being hard to play against too. I mean, nobody's ever going to confuse, you know, the 2015 Chicago Blackhawks for like this player upon player of intimidating guys they're rolling out there that are just physically tough to play against. They had the puck the whole time and they could score a lot. So you need both. I mean, I think Tampa Bay last year, to their credit, really found a way to capture the perfect blend of, all right, we know they've got skill. They can put the puck in the back of the net, but now they've added a little bit of sandpaper to their lineup as well. And it paid off. I mean, you could tell it in the bubble that paid off. And right now the Predators, they've just got to work, to your point, they've got to work so hard to score goals that's not that hard to play against when you know that, hey, if you get to three goals on a night, you keep things 5-on-5, probably going to have a good chance to win if you're playing against the Predators. It's not a good spot to be, other than, you know, a superhuman-esque performance from Philip Forsberg, which you've seen a couple of times already this year.
Yeah, and there have been games where they've gotten a fair number of chances, but they don't have enough finish on this team. So, you know, you brought up Pekka-Rinne earlier. Pekka-Rinne last night felt like he was on an island at times, and it felt reminiscent to some games we've seen over the years where Pekka-Rinne is having to be the one keeping the team in the game, and he did everything he could to potentially earn the Preds a point or two out of that game, made 34 saves. I thought he was fantastic. Not much he could do on either goal that he gave up. And I got to be honest, Pekka-Rinne has handled this so well. I mean, a lot of goaltenders in his position where he's been the guy, the franchise guy for so long, and he kind of falls off a cliff like he did last season, would almost wave the white flag or want to go to another team to try to prove themselves. But he is really, really handled this well. And he was asked after the game about sharing time between him and UC Saros. And I loved his response. Here was Pekka-Rinne last night after the game.
How different or strange or I don't know how you even describe this season for you, kind of going into a backup role and then kind of, you know, just not knowing when to expect one to play, becoming a dad. All these things have happened so fast through so far. What has been your perspective on just kind of what you've made of just how the experience has been so far for you? Unlike a lot of, you know, most of your previous seasons, I'm guessing.
I don't know. It's different. It's different. This season is different for everybody and for different reasons. And same thing for myself. But just try to have the right attitude and just be ready all the time. Make the most of it when I get ice time and you know, just try to play well. Obviously my goal is to help this team and, you know, hopefully play more. But at the same time, it's a healthy competition and something that I knew coming into this season. So, you know, I'm good. I'm ready to go.
That was Pekka-Rinne after the game last night. Pekka-Rinne, again, 34 saves, Robbie. Loved his response to that question and the fact that he continually admits that it's a healthy competition. I got to be honest, though. He's playing better than UC Saros right now, and I feel like he is taking back his number one job slowly but surely. And it's a short season. We have a small sample size. In my opinion, Pekka-Rinne has been better than UC Saros this year, and it's not really close.
I agree, and I think you can view that a couple different ways if you're the Predators. Number one, I think part of the story this year is trying to figure out what exactly UC Saros is, and I do think that's important. I think you need to know what you have moving forward here and then kind of base your decisions off that as you move forward with some younger goalies maybe coming up in the pipeline. I've not been overly impressed by what I've seen so far. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Saros has been bad, because I do think there have been some games where he's played very well. I also think there have been some games like the 7-0 game against Dallas where weird things happen. They end up in the back of the net. He didn't get much help in front of him. Also did not bail his team out. And that is what you need a high-level franchise goalie to do for you sometimes. And that is just bail you out time and time again. I mean, Pekka-Rinne for a long time was called the eraser because that's what he was able to do. It was bail his teammates out. He did it a lot last night as well in the game against Florida. So I agree. I think Pekka's playing better. I think you're going to see him get some more playing time as they move forward. I mean, he was going to get, you know, a significant amount anyway, just based on the schedule. But I agree. Like, if I'm John Hines looking at it right now, Pekka's my number one, just based on the way that things have gone the last couple of weeks. I think he's playing better. He looks refreshed. He looks focused. Now, you know, at his age, maybe if he plays more, that has the opposite effect of what you want it to have, and it wears him down a little bit. And if so, you can adjust. But I would go with Pekka right now. I think he's playing better. I think he's the better goalie right now. And I do. I still think that the future of UC Saros as the next guy, quote unquote, I think is still very much up in the air. And quite frankly, if I had to make a decision on it right now, if I'm the Predators, I wouldn't be very confident that he's the next franchise goaltender. I'm not saying he's not a good goaltender. I'm not saying he's not an NHL goaltender. Is he the next franchise goaltender? I have my doubts.
Yeah. And I've never been 100% in on UC Saros being that next franchise goaltender. For every great game that he's had over his four-year career here with the Nashville Predators, there's always been that one game or two games to counterbalance the one or two good games where you're like, he's just not it. And there's been a whole lot of average in between. And ever since the start of that four-game series against Arizona, I have not seen anything from UC Saros that would prove to me or anybody, in my opinion, that he should be the guy. And when you look at Pekka, I feel like Pekka right now gives you the best chance to win when he's in net. And I put out a Twitter poll last night because I was very interested to see what the fans' response would be. And I put it out after the first period where Pekka stood on his head, making 20 saves in the first period, not giving up any goals. And I simply asked the question, who do you trust between the pipes the most right now? 87% went with Pekka and 13% went with UC Saros. And you look at Pekka's numbers, 2.77 goals against average, 902 save percentage. Those numbers don't get you in the Hall of Fame. But when you look at UC Saros, he has a 3.31 goals against average and an 893 save percentage, and he has an 854 save percentage in his last five games. So that's essentially since the Columbus games, where Saros, those were probably his two best games of the season.
Yep.
Since those two games, an 854 save percentage. So if I'm John Hines, you're going into this Tampa Bay two-game series, they're probably going to split. Rene gets one, Saros gets one. I am treating this as a competition between the two of how they look. Maybe not necessarily the result, because I don't know if you really want to judge goaltenders on their results against Tampa Bay. But how Rene looks versus Tampa Bay and versus how Saros looks against Tampa Bay, if Rene looks better again, I'm giving Pekka the two games against Detroit later next week in two games that you absolutely have to win.
Agreed. I mean, I think that's the way you've got to handle it. And look, both goaltenders need to play better from a statistical standpoint. But I think when you watch them play, the eyeball test is really not all that close. Like, I think Pekka has played significantly better than Saros has to this point. I mean, Pekka got lit up last week by Tampa. A lot of that came on the power play. And you got Stamkos ripping it from the left circle. I mean, what are you going to do right there? I mean, uncovered Stamkos, by the way, ripping it from the left circle. What are you going to do there? So it's one of those things where he is the guy that gives you the chance to steal games, because that to me is the biggest knock on Saros right now. When you absolutely need to have a save, can he make it? Like, for instance, the Thursday night game against Florida is a brutal turnover by Dante Fabbro that led to the first goal. It's a breakaway. He's a really good player. I get it. So Huberto makes a great move and he scores. That is an example of a play where a franchise level goaltender needs to help bail you out every now and then. Not every time, but needs to help bail you out. And Saros does not do that consistently enough. So I agree. I mean, this is going to be very fascinating to see how the Predators handle that this week, because you're going to have really good goaltending against Tampa Bay to keep you in those games with that offense and the way that they can score goals. So I'm very fascinated to see how they can handle it. And if it plays out like you just said, and Pekka ends up better between these two games, I think you've got to ride him for a minute, because they need some sort of spark to get them out of this, you know, mess that they're in, really stuck in the mud since the start of the season against Columbus. And I think Pekka probably is the best opportunity for that.
So you brought up Dante Favreau, and Thursday night he has the bad turnover that leads to the opening goal like 90 seconds in. And last night the Panthers had the tic-tac-toe goal. I believe that was the Carter Verghese goal, where Favreau looked like a fish out of water at the top of the crease, not knowing where the puck was. Are you concerned about Favreau right now?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm not anywhere near panic level on him. What some of the plays that he's made, I think, is an example of trying to do too much. That's part of what I've seen from him. The example you brought up from the game Friday night on the goal is not a Dante Favreau thing that drives me nuts. That's really a Nashville Predators defenseman thing that drives me nuts. And that is, hey, I'm kind of caught in no man's land here, so I'm going to lay down and see if I can block the puck going across, which all that really does, if you're playing against some high-skilled players, is just create a roadblock for the puck to just hop right over on the stick. I mean, you accomplish nothing doing that. So that's not a Dante Favreau thing. That is a Nashville Predators defenseman thing that they do way too often, in my opinion. But Favreau's had some moments this year where it's been rough. And, you know, I think when you're a young defenseman playing in a top four role, physically, I think he's in a better spot this year just based on – I thought he got pushed around a lot last year, and I'm not seeing that quite as much. There have been some mental mistakes this year with Favreau that are concerning. And that to me, you need to see a step taken there from year one to year two, and I don't think I've seen that on a consistent basis. That's the most concerning part. I think the tools are there. He skates really well. I think when he's on, he can be a really good defender. He's not ever going to be like, you know, Sam Girard or Roman Josi carrying the puck. So I don't think people should expect that. But the concerning part to me is some of the mental mistakes that I think were there in his rookie year are still there at times. And you've got to get past that at some point.
And not only are those mental mistakes still there, those mental mistakes are ending up in the back of the Preds net.
Yeah.
You know, the play Friday night, how many times have we seen Ryan Ellis in front of the goal over the years trying to stop the pass and just lay down?
Yeah.
And it ends up getting in the back of the net. However, I will say Favreau was not all the way down on the ice. He was on all fours.
I don't know what he was doing. He looked like a starfish.
Exactly. That's what I mean by he just looked like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
And the Panthers just kind of toyed with the Preds on that play. Good play by the Panthers with Verghese. All right, final thing before we wrap. What do you want to see out of the Predators against the Lightning where you would come away from the two-game series saying that was a success?
I need to see a competitiveness from start to finish. And when you get your chances – finish on those chances. You're not going to get a ton of chances against Tampa Bay. As good as they are offensively, they're pretty good defensively as well. It seems like lately there's always been at least one period where the Predators just totally disappear. I mean, the second period Friday night against Florida was awful. I mean, they might as well not even been on the ice. It was really bad. Other than Pecorine, play a 60-minute game where even if you get beat, which Tampa Bay's better than the Predators, let's not kid ourselves here. Even if you get beat, you're in the battle the whole time. You don't have any mental lapses. You don't have any, you know, 10, 12-minute stretches where you're barely having the puck in the offensive zone. So that to me is the baseline. You need to be able to win one of these games. Like, you can't go through an entire season just getting smoked by Tampa Bay and Carolina and Dallas every time. So you're at home. Find a way to win. I mean, Pecorine's had some good success against Tampa. I know that doesn't really mean anything this year, and this is a much different setup playing them as much as you're going to play the Lightning this year, but there have been too many times lately where they go through a 10 or 12 minute stretch and it's like they're not even out there in the offensive zone. That can't happen. Like, if you continue to see that in large stretches, I don't know where your hope comes from for this team.
Yeah. I mean, if you have those 10 to 12 minute stretches against Tampa Bay, they'll score three or four goals within that 10 to 12 stretch, just like they did against the Preds in Tampa Bay earlier this week. And I do want to get to what John Hines said about the inconsistency, because you're alluding to the inconsistency. You asked John Hines about the inconsistency after the game. Here is what John Hines had to say about that.
Yeah, John, I mean, you've talked about inconsistency. How concerning is that at this point? You know, 11 games in, not typically a big deal, but in a 56-game season, it weighs a little heavier at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's something we got to, you know, it's consistency within our game, you know, as you said, but then it's also just the erraticness of some performances where, you know, if you're going to win consistently and string wins together and, you know, get yourself in a situation where you're going to be a competitive team throughout the year, the inconsistencies, you know, need to stop and they need to stop in a hurry.
All right, that was John Hines after the game last night. And to that point, the Preds have played 11 games. They're 5-6. They're 20% of the way through the season, really. And they're 5-6. They have 10 points. Not only are they seventh in the Central Division in terms of total points with 10 points, but they're also seventh in the division in points percentage with a points percentage of 455. And you would hope that the fact that they've played 11 games and four other teams in the division have played single digits, that they would have been able to build some sort of not lead, but be right there within the pack. But they're behind the pack, and there's four teams ahead of them that have played two or three less games. So the consistency, you have to play with a lot of consistency against Tampa Bay, and you can't lose some of these games in regulation. You have to find a way to earn some points. If you want to be a playoff team, you have to find a way to earn some points like the Blackhawks are doing. I mean, the Blackhawks are not better than you. And the Blackhawks are playing Carolina tough. They're playing the Predators tough. They're earning these overtime or shootout points in the standings. They've only won four games, but Chicago has a 500-point percentage. You have to at least find a way to get some points, including against Tampa Bay. So, I mean, I think 2 points out of this two-game series would be nice. 3 would be great. I mean, 4 would be spectacular, but I'm not going to hold my breath for 4.
No, I'm not going to hold my breath for 4 either. And we talked about the frustration from Hines earlier. You can hear it in that, talking about some individual players and the erraticness of their performances. That has been the story since John Hines has taken over. That was the story before John Hines took over as well. It's just the erraticness of performance from the top players. And look, how many times do you have to talk about it before you look at the players and say, enough's enough, man. It's time to find a new batch of players. And we are dangerously close to that conversation with this group. And if this inconsistency continues throughout this season, this team ain't making the playoffs. And you're going to have to ask some very serious questions about the futures of a lot of people in this organization. I'll put it that way.
There's no doubt about that. Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road and NHL.com. Robbie, thank you as always for joining me here on Preds Insiders, a special podcast edition on this Saturday.
Yes, fun stuff. I appreciate it, Porth.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. You can tune in all day Monday for your chance to win tickets to the Tuesday night game against Tampa Bay. So listen in during the 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours for your cue to call for a pair of tickets to Tuesday's game between the Preds and the Lightning. And Jordan Tutu, don't forget, is the special guest for Smash Alive on Wednesday night. So thank you for listening. Enjoy this super weekend of sports, and we'll see what the Preds do against the Lightning this week on Monday and Tuesday.